You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of To the Journey.
To the journey.
I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me as always is
Tristan Riddell and
Lori Sears.
And this week we are doing something a little bit different from the usual. This is not a typical discussion of the week. It is not a character analysis. We're doing something a little bit new. We are taking an episode, revamping it a little bit. We're going to discuss what we like about an episode, what we don't like about an episode, and what we, if we were the producers or writers, would do to change the episode to make it better. And the episode we have chosen to do this with is Q Squared. So, why don't we just jump right in and talk about what we like about this episode. Lori, what do you like about this episode?
It's funny. I do like that it's funny, and you do get to see Neelix with his mouth glued shut. I did enjoy that.
That is a plus.
That was a giant plus. No, I'm kidding. I do like Neelix. I feel bad sometimes that we talk bad about him. But
as you should.
Okay. But you know what? Right. He deserved it so much.
He's such a happy guy, though. He is really happy all the time. I have to give him that.
He is
Mr. Positive.
To his credit, he did get his revenge back.
He did.
In this episode. On Q.
Barely? How? Like, which is from talking
when,
more?
No, when Q Jr. is serving up, like, that Taco Bell meat slop or whatever it was, the ground beef, I don't know what it was, in the
dog
mess
food.
Hall. And the dog food. when they're in the mess hall and Neelix is saying hi to everybody and making sure that he's annoying the living crap out of Q Jr. after he has his mouth back. He's like, yeah, how does it feel, buddy? Yeah.
I don't know if that quite measures up to having your mouth glued shut and your vocal cords removed, but okay.
No, I don't think that measures up at all. There was an episode of The X-Files where that happened to someone where they got their mouth closed up because someone found a genie and wished that their boss would shut up.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's awesome.
And the plastic surgeon had to cut open his mouth and try to formulate lips. And it was horrifying because he had to live that way for the rest of his life because he had, like, stitches through these makeshift lips.
I missed this.
I've seen the horror of what Neelix could have gone through if it wasn't for Q snapping his fingers.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Yeah.
But Lori, please continue.
Let's talk about something happier.
Yeah, let's move on from that. Yuck. I did enjoy just seeing all the different dudes in makeup. That was kind of cool. And they used a lot of costumes and makeup in this episode. I noticed that when I was watching it, like, the fifth time this week.
That's a very good point.
I just noticed that. I don't know. But one of y'all can jump in now. I mean, I've named a couple things. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Tristan, what have you got?
I liked little things in this episode. I mean, overall about the episode, there was a lot that I disagreed with and I would have taken a different direction, which we'll talk about later. But, like I said, just little things. Like, I liked little lines here and there. Like, when they turned the engineering into a techno club, I thought that was awesome.
Want a party with the warp core disco light?
And Voyager has the perfect warp core to party too, because it has the most psychedelic lava lamp features to it.
It does.
And I loved that Junior was chasing B'Elanna around. He's like, one dance, B'Elanna, just one dance. And because I could absolutely relate to that situation.
Yeah,
because if I was in a club with B'Elanna, I'd be chasing her around too, saying just one dance.
I can see 16-year-old Tristan, you know, chasing after Roxanne, asking, "Come on, just one,
just one dance, please." I totally had a thing for older women at that age, so yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also really liked that they put him in a chair in front of the astrometrics lab. Because that's all that I have thought about when I saw the astrometrics lab was putting down a lazy chair and, like, playing video games on that huge screen.
It looked like a gamer's chair, too. Like one of those chairs you could plug it in. That was cool.
All you need is Riker's joystick somewhere. And then you've got it made. You don't leave that thing for days.
Absolutely. The Riker maneuver is all you would need in that room.
Talk about vibe, man.
I also liked that the quarters that he was in. Where are these quarters?
What a prison.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny because, you know, all I could think about was going back to TNG in the episode Relics when Scotty was aboard and he's like, where have you put me? You know, like an admiral wouldn't get such quarters. And then we go to Voyager and it's like, bam, bread and water. You just get a bed. That's it.
Well, I think that has to do with Voyager's size. It's, for one thing, it's not the flagship of the fleet, but then also you've got roughly 150 people aboard this ship.
And as opposed to 1,000.
Sure, yeah, and I'm not sure how many crew quarters they've got, but this is probably next to the last in line as far as what's available because it's already taken.
Right. Everything's some people are doubled up, as we've seen in other episodes.
Well, that begs the question, though. Okay, then why is there available quarters for Q Jr. anyway?
Yeah. Well, maybe they moved someone. Like that's all that I could think of is that they moved a person who was less than an ensign, just a crewman. You know, like they moved one of the Equinox people.
Yeah, they crammed them somewhere else.
Made them bunk up for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I liked about it. It's just overall just like little moments here and there. I enjoyed like kind of the one-liners and yeah.
Okay. I definitely the dialogue, bits of dialogue in this story is really good. I mean, you can't really go wrong with the Q because there's funny dialogue. Q episodes are fun, and as a Star Trek fan, whenever I hear about a Q episode, say like when the show was running, you know, if a Q episode was going to come up, I'd get all excited. Oh my gosh, Q's going to be back. What's he going to do now? It's going to be crazy. So, I mean, with Q being a fan favorite, this is a wise choice, and since Q had been on Voyager before, and this is a season 7 episode, I'm thinking, okay, this is Q's last hurrah, which actually is a little bit both good and bad, but we're focusing on the good right now, so it is a good thing. And then also, following up with Q's son is a brilliant idea, because last time we saw him, he was just a little infant. We want to know what's happened, right? So here we go. This is what we get. And I think we should also mention, I mean, we didn't pick this episode because we think it's bad. We picked it because it is good, but it could have been better.
Got a lot of potential.
It did have a lot of potential. So, okay, we've covered what we like about it. Now let's discuss the negative side of it, what we don't like. So, Lori, what have you got?
I think it kind of goes to what you were just saying. I don't know. I liked Q on TNG a lot. I thought he was real snarky. He was funny. And I just thought he and Picard had a good rapport going back and forth there. But then after Death Wish, I thought they made Q just super silly. I mean, I don't know. That just really was a negative thing to me. Although I have to say in that the Q in the Gray when he turns his face and has that huge tattoo on his face, like Chakotay's tattoo. He says it's big enough, and she says, not big enough, or whatever it is.
Like, mine's
it always
bigger.
Makes me laugh every time. Yeah, that's right. Mine's bigger. Yeah, that's funny. But it's just too silly. They made him too silly. They kind of took away his, I don't know, his mysterious, what's he going to do now, like you said, and just made him sort of the Dr. Seuss or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he was more of a clown. I have to agree with you, Matt Lloyd, because it took it wasn't really until I rewatched this episode for this podcast to where I realized, wow, he really is just a clown in this episode. I mean, there are other times when he gets really silly. I mean, even in TNG where he gets really silly, but this one was just a little bit too jokey,
campy.
Too campy, too much of a jester kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But what else would you say, Lori, that you didn't like?
I hated that this is the way he went out, in a way. I mean, I really wanted to see something better from that. And I guess it was just sort of annoying that the kid was just such a brat. I just expected something better.
Well, he's a Q. What do you expect?
I don't know. That's just and not look what who's I raising expected him. From him. I don't know. Yeah, that's true. Self-centered are us. I guess so. That's true.
Actually, if I may amend the list of things that I did like with this episode was the fact that Q made a very horrible parent, and for obvious reason, I think, because he's pretty out of control himself. Although, there isn't this other side, which we'll get into. But, okay, please continue.
No, okay, go ahead. Tristan, go ahead. What did you not like about it?
Without talking about what I would change, I would say that I don't like Icheb. I don't like Icheb at all. I don't like him as a character. I don't like him as an actor. I think he gives a horrible performance every single time. And I think this is probably one of his worst performances where I just don't believe a single word that comes out of his mouth. And so I don't like him in that. I completely agree with you about how I don't like how jokey Q is. And I don't like that this was the last time. I didn't even think about that. About how this is the last time that we saw Q. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. This is the note that he went out on.
yeah.
There was one thing that really just stuck in my craw was when he took the Delta Flyer out and did that flexure or whatever you want to call it. Where he created his own little wormhole. Mm-hmm. Why would that not be saved in the Delta Flyer's records so that they would be able to create that again?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That has always bugged the crap out of me because he didn't do anything special. He didn't use his Q powers. He didn't have any Q powers.
Yeah, he didn't have any.
He hit some buttons on the Delta Flyer to make it do. So the Delta Flyer has the capability to do this without any Q interference. And so why wouldn't it have... An analysis of what happened so that they could recreate that and travel even further.
Right. That could get Voyager home. And I hadn't even thought about that. You just blew my mind.
That's what I do.
I didn't think about that.
Boom!
I did think about that when I saw that. I thought, why did they never use that? But then it was gone. I thought about it and it was passed. But yeah, that's crazy. Especially, you're right here near the end. Take a risk, for God's sake.
Seriously. As George Carlin would say, take an effing chance.
Yes. Yeah.
They could have even said like, oh, well, he used an algorithm that we can't reproduce because of A, B, and C. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Right. Or, something. I mean, even if maybe Q erased the log or something.
Something like that.
But we don't know that because they didn't say it.
Yeah. And I guess one other thing that I didn't really like is... I guess this would kind of go on to, this would be attached to how Q was a little jokey. Like when he said that Janeway was mommy to this crew, I felt like that was even more condescending than Q normally is. Like Q is an omnipotent being and everybody's beneath him, but it felt a little bit more demeaning than he ever has been. Mm-hmm. But, and some fans might think I'm crazy because he's always been... Like, with Picard, like, Data even said that he viewed him as a beloved pet. But for some reason, maybe it was because she's a woman. I don't know. And maybe I'm being sexist, but I thought that that was being sexist. So, I don't know.
Well, yeah. One thing that does bother me with Q on Voyager is the whole sexist nature that comes out. From Death Wish onward, in every single episode, there's this sexism, especially toward Janeway.
That and why? Why? I don't understand that at all.
It's like, we have to make fun of the fact that you're a woman.
Huh? There was nothing else that he could have found, or that they could have found, that they could have gone back and forth about.
Yeah, like, okay, come on, really? I mean, she is stubborn. She drinks way too much coffee. And I did like the replicator thing. Make it yourself.
That was funny.
Getting all snarky on her. Yeah, that was a fun moment. I mean, there's other things that you could pick on besides her sex. Come on. So I guess, that's one thing that I don't like, just kind of about Q on Voyager in general, not just this episode. Mm-hmm. But actually, the one big thing that really bothered me this time that I kind of, in the back of my mind, thought about this, but it really came to light this time, was how compliant Q now is with the Continuum. I mean, back in the TNG days, he used to be kind of, I mean, he represented... the cue via the continuum, you know. But then he was kind of a little bit of a rebel, which kind of got him into some trouble himself. And now all of a sudden, is even after he goes through this whole thing with Quinn, where they decide that Quinn's punishment for wanting to kill himself was too cruel and unusual, I guess. And then all of a sudden in this episode, Q is perfectly okay with confining his son to being an amoeba. You know, basically he's limited to a petri dish.
Yeah.
Okay, is that not really similar of an existence? Why is he okay with it this time and not...
I think it was really just a threat. Like, I don't think he had any intention of actually putting him in there. It's like putting your kid in a timeout corner, like, you know, putting his face up against the corner of the house. It doesn't mean you're going to keep him there for the rest of his life. It just means, like, hey, if you keep acting up, I'm going to put you there even longer. So I felt like it was a galactic scale of that.
So he's saying eternity, but he only means, really, 5 minutes in Q time.
Yeah, sure. I think so. Yeah. I think because, like, no, like when a parent says, you know, if you act up anymore, I'm going to keep you there forever. You know, it doesn't really mean forever.
Okay, I didn't see it that way. I took it at face value and thought they were going to confine him there for forever.
Forever, yeah. That's what I thought, too.
So I thought that was cruel. Yeah. I kind of had a bone to pick with that.
Like, well, no, I can understand that. I feel like that might have been the threat from the continuum, but I don't think Q would have let that happen. Just like what we saw at the end of the episode, he's like, you know, he said, if you're going to kick him out, you got to kick me out too. So I don't think he would have just left his son in a petri dish.
I hope not.
Well, that's just it. I don't think he would, but at the time, he seemed more than willing to go along with it. Maybe out of his own frustration. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But that just, that grated on me. Like, that's not Q.
Yeah.
So that bothered me. Any other things that we don't like about this episode that we should mention?
I'm itching to get to the part where we talk about what we would change and put ourselves in the executive producer seat.
And I'm not going first.
Okay, well then let's get to the sweet spot of this episode. Let's get to what we want to really talk about, because I think we all have incredibly good ideas on what we would do to change this episode and make it better. So, Tristan, I want to hear your idea for how you would improve this episode.
Okay, now there's a few things that if I could do grander things, I would change little things as well. But if I couldn't do grander things, I might not change those little things. So overall, I'd get rid of Icheb.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll start this out with what I would get rid of before I would talk about what I'll change. I would get rid of Icheb for the reasons that I stated earlier. I just can't stand him. I don't think he adds anything to the plot other than being the device and that up the stakes at the end, which we didn't really care because Icheb's stupid and he can die if he needs to.
Wow.
Well, what do you really think about Icheb there, Tristan?
Please tell us. That's so unclear.
Please share your thoughts. I'm not sure how you feel.
Like how other people feel about Neelix, that's how I feel about Icheb.
Wow. Seething hatred there, buddy.
So I'd get rid of Icheb. I would get rid of the Borg. Okay.
Okay.
That I felt like that was a slap in the face, because think about when we first saw the Borg. It's when Q threw the Enterprise to the Delta Quadrant and started this epic, seething, and hatred-filled war about the potential end of humanity. This was a big deal when it was introduced into season 2 of TNG. And then we just make a lighthearted joke about it in Voyager. And a lot of people blame Voyager for taking the scary out of the Borg, and this was the epitome of that. This was the Borg is not scary. Q is just screwing with them. No, it's like they took an entire episode of TNG and how amazing and sensational it was for an omnipotent being to do this to another race, and then just condensed it into a 15-second joke. In Voyager. I didn't like that. Get rid of it. And another thing that they should get rid of that should only belong in TNG was the court at the end where we see the other Q dressed in the outfits. This is not a continuum thing. This is a Q thing, as in John Delancey's Q. Mm-hmm. It is something that he developed just to torture Picard and Picard only. This is, you know, it's,
right.
We never see the Q duplicate themselves. I mean, or duplicate their methods except with this court thing for Picard. And that's mm-hmm. the only time we should see it duplicated. Get rid of it.
And you know what? That whole thing didn't have a whole lot to do with the story anyway.
Mm-hmm. It didn't fit. It didn't really fit at all. No Mad Max and the Thunderdome people just running around.
Yeah, exactly, that's still fun without that.
Perfect. Okay, so another thing that I would do is there's a lot more. Like, those are just little things that I would change if I couldn't change big things about mm-hmm. the episode. Like, if I could only choose a little things, those are the things that I would change.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you, if I may interject. You're taking some things out. What would you put in to replace those missing scenes?
I was just about to get into that.
Because, okay, okay.
Yes. With each have gone, you're like, oh, well, then, you know, what's the whole moral of the story? Where does it come into play? Well, if I could make grander things happen, I would have made this episode happen two seasons earlier.
Okay.
Because we saw him as a baby four seasons before this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. so let's make that episode happen two seasons before. He's younger than John DeLancey, but older than this guy that we saw in Q Squared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
not a teenager. He's a young 20-something.
Okay.
And so what would happen was, in this episode, it is much more focused on an existential crisis of himself instead of, oh, I'm just a bawdy teenager who likes to get in trouble. No, this is him struggling with who he is in the universe and how he's supposed to become the savior of the continuum. Let's not make everything in the continuum hunky-dory after a civil war happened that literally caused supernovas throughout the galaxy. Let's see the rebuilding. Let's see the reconstruction, as it were, for the continuum. And let's see some still hatred on either side. And this Q is supposed to be the savior of his entire omnipotent race. Let's make it a little darker, little bit more existential, and this is just the second part of a three-act structure that we can do with this mm-hmm. Civil War storyline. And so Aunt Kathy helps him out because she was there at his conception and birth. and his father loves humans, and so he turns to love humans. And so, and she helps him find his way. She helps him realize that he needs to help with reconstruction. And that's the end of the episode. And then our third episode is where he finally becomes... And then in the third episode, we see him as a full adult. I'm talking about same age as John DeLancey. And
okay.
John DeLancey and Junior look exactly the same. We're talking about middle-aged 40s.
I love
and
it.
So he gets to the point where he's like, I'm ageless, you know? Like, once he reaches that, he can now say that he's ageless, like Q said earlier in TNG. And with this third act, you know, the stakes need to be raised. This can happen in the seventh season. This is how John DeLancey's Q makes his way out. Something epic happens where reconstruction has either failed or a new faction comes in and to stir crap up again. And Junior is the one who can fix it. And because he's now a prominent member in the Q, it's something is pitted against father and son, where their ideals kind of butt heads because Junior has become his own man and Q, you know, is in opposition to him. And that's where and Voyager gets caught in the middle again, just like in the first episode. And so it's nice bookends where Aunt Kathy helped him find his way in the second one. But in the third one, she has to choose, do I help Q or do I help Junior? And something happens.
That's cool.
Something happens at the end where I don't want to say John DeLancey dies because he's omnipotent, but I mean, they can kill other Qs, so I want you to think that might happen. That's what I would have done with this storyline.
Wow. I like your idea a lot better than I like mine.
I do. I like yours better than mine, too. Mine
sounds
like corn.
Dang, buddy. Yeah. That is so good. I really, 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 really wish we could have seen this now, because this would have been an awesome Q arc to have in Voyager.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a nice, like you said, arc, like just a mini three-part structure, three-act structure, where we see the Civil War and the birth of the Savior. We see the proverbial 40 days in the desert where he's lost and he doesn't know what to do. And then we see whether he saves or sacrifices at the in the third one. And
yeah,
this you would have seen this in Deep Space Nine. I'll be honest. You would have seen this in Deep Space Nine. And yeah, maybe that's why I would have liked to have seen how the Voyager crew would have reacted to
it. Well, Q didn't really work on Deep Space Nine. I'm glad they didn't go with that.
No, I'm not talking about Q in Deep Space Nine. I'm talking about this kind of 3-act story.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah,
it's much more, style-wise.
There's a reason why we only saw John Delancey on Deep Space Nine once. There.
Right. Sisko hit him, and that was that.
That's the end of that
now,
right there.
I did like Q on Voyager, and I really wish we could have actually seen a little more of him had we had something like this. Like, we were talking about earlier, I think Q just got way too silly toward the end here. And had he been dealing with some greater issue, I think people would have been much bigger fans of Q on Voyager.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that really does bug me about this episode is that it is Q's last hurrah. I mean, it's 7th season Voyager. We know that he's not coming back. Maybe mm-hmm. ever. Certainly in the foreseeable future. So let's make this good, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Sort
really
of like
good.
How TNG had its bookends. I mean, it's not quite the same because we didn't have Q in the pilot of Voyager. But knowing this, let's find some way to give closure with Q.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sorely missing in this episode, in my opinion. So I would have liked to have seen more of that. Now, I didn't go quite as extensive in grand of scope as you did, Tristan. but I really like what you did there. What I ultimately came up with was for a standalone episode. And I thought, okay, we've got kind of a decent idea here where we have Q Jr. and there's some problems going on. Q is understandably a very bad parent because he's an omnipotent being who can do anything he freaking wants. What in the world is he going to, you know, how is he going to guide a child and raise it to be a decent, upstanding Q being? I can see why this is not working. What I would have liked to have seen is this. In TNG, we have Q basically torturing Picard and testing humanity. And the arc of TNG is the trial sort of coming to an end in All Good Things, where Picard opens up his mind to new possibilities he couldn't have prior imagined, and then so they kind of close that up on that. What if we turn the tables and we have Q kind of having an existential crisis, as you know, kind of what you were talking about, Tristan, where Junior Q is just freaking out of control. He doesn't listen to anybody. He is going through the universe and just making a huge mess wherever he goes. This is why the universe can't have nice things, kind of a thing. Q is at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do. Mrs. Q has left him because she's so ashamed and frustrated. She just kind of walked away, not knowing what in the world else to do. And so Q is beside himself. He's at rock bottom. He resorts to going to Kathy because he doesn't know who else to turn to who will actually help him.
So you would have had the focus be more on John Delancey than Junior in this episode.
Yes, because this is the Q that we all know and love, and we love stories about Q. Now, granted, we're going to see Q Junior doing things, but I wanted this story to be more about Q instead of what we saw more with Q Jr. I would have flipped it, actually. So, and then, I wanted to see Q and Kathy work together to find a way to resolve this whole thing with Q Jr. and make things right within, say, the continuum again, or at least between the two of them again. How and what, I've thought all day about this, and I'm not exactly sure. This is where I'm a collaborative writer. I really love to bounce ideas off of people, and this is where I would have gone into the writer's room and said, okay, guys, I've got a great idea. I want to do this, but I'm not sure how to get from here to there. It's like the underpants theory. You know, you've got underpants, we're not sure yet, and then profit. You guys know about this? You're giving me blank stares. Watch South Park, you guys.
Underpants and profit.
Yeah, you've got underpants, okay. We're not sure yet in the middle, and then profit. So I've got the two ends there, but I'm not sure what goes in the middle, and I need the other writers in the room to help me flesh that out. I think there's some great possibilities there, but within me, I just can't just choke it out, man. Oh, I've been racking my brain all day, and this is where I need the brilliant mind of someone else to help either force it out of me or to help, you know, just in a collaborative effort, flesh together a story.
Well, you know who I think is more than qualified to do that?
Who?
Lori.
Me?
Probably.
Yeah. I want to hear what Lori has to say. I think, like, Charlene, those are some two fantastic bookends, and I think you're right. I think we've all would have liked to have seen an episode where we were much more focused on John DeLancey, because we're there for John DeLancey. Q squared, the junior, should have been a bonus, not the focus.
Mm. Yeah.
And so... Well, so, Lori, you know, what did you want to change?
I kind of would have changed the whole story, to be honest with you. I've watched Tapestry recently, and it was in my rewatch. And I really like the story, the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And I thought that Tapestry really reminds me of that. And I just thought, well, Q is there. Let's just go out with something... I don't know. I've also been reading Mosaic, too. And I'm sorry, I'm just jumping around all over the place. Please put this together any way you want.
You wanted to see Tapestry Part 2, Janeway edition.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Okay. All right, sorry. I'm not trying to be vague. But
No, you would have thrown Junior out to the wind and said no.
Well, no, not necessarily. He could have been there. He could have been the one to do the deal. But what I was thinking was... we see in Coda how Janeway was just devastated by her father's death, but they never really talk about how her fiancé died in that story, too. He died in the ship that crashed or whatever.
Well, we never knew about them on screen.
No, we didn't, but it was in the book, so they brought that out a little bit in the story. But what I was thinking was, I don't know, somehow to get her to the point to where she's like, I regret that I did... whatever I did, that somehow she was to blame for their deaths. So he takes her back to the point to where she's watching them die. And then when he says, what would you do differently? She said she would do it all differently. He takes her back. And apparently whatever started all this off was all her fault for some reason. And so she decides, well, I'm not going to do what I did. Kind of like Picard said he was going to do in Tapestry. He was going to do everything differently. Although nobody would be hurt, nothing would really change. He just thought, you know, I'm not going to do what I did. And somehow she just realizes, even though you regret what you regret, she never would have ended up being the person that she was had she not gone through all those things.
So all of a sudden we'd see Janeway in a blue uniform, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. And basically, she just kind of have her, like, realizing, you know, all the... she just wouldn't be who she was because it was those people's deaths that made her become the captain. I mean, I think before that she was just the science person. Mm-hmm. But basically, then kind of just do a, well, where would everybody be without you? Where would everybody be if you had not done what you had done? If you had not become the person?
Kinda it was like, her proverbial knife through the chest.
Definitely. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
We could have seen different sides of the other characters. Where would they be, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just what I was thinking.
For better or for worse. But my question is, okay, then why would Q be putting Janeway through this? Because there was a very good reason with Picard.
I don't know. That was the one thing that I couldn't figure out.
I mean, maybe she's having her midlife crisis, and she's sort of, I guess, maybe going through what she did in Night, where she's just kind of drowned in regret.
You.
Like, the journey's getting so long. Mm-hmm. It's wearing her down. They haven't had shore leave in 8 months.
Yeah.
And, like, she just doesn't know how much more she can take. And then Q comes in.
Bang.
Because she
right
wants
there.
To give up. And then he renews her hope. Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I was racking my brain thinking of the episode where she spent all of her time in her quarters.
Sure.
And, yeah, I think you're right. Like, maybe she's getting to the point where she's like, maybe if Voyager had a different captain, they wouldn't
exactly.
have gone through this. You know, what if I never went into the command track? Maybe mm-hmm. these these people's lives wouldn't have been affected as much as they have. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, definitely. See, I couldn't get to that point. And you that filled would in be the really, blank
see,
right there.
That's why we need the writer's room to bounce these right. ideas.
That's
I
it.
Mean,
exactly.
Make them better than we are individually. Yes.
And I think, Lori, I mean, to tie it still into Q squared, I think it would have been cool to see Junior do that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He could do that. Somehow he sees that horrible memory she has and he takes her there. But yeah.
Like, you help me save the continuum, so I'll help you save yourself.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. This is cool, you guys. We've all got very different ideas on where the story could have gone or been entirely redone, possibly. And it's, I think they're all better than what we saw on screen, which, I mean, is the typical gripe of Voyager. I mean, they have great ideas with lots of potential and just can't follow through with it. And of course, we're doing this in hindsight.
Yes.
But this is also the fun of Voyager, I think, as a fan. I mean, thinking about all the endless possibilities, the things that we could have done, the imagination runs wild, does it not?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yes.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing this podcast about this show.
That is correct. Let's give a long overdue shout out, because I forgot last week, one person who has rated us in the UK iTunes store some time ago, back in December, I think. Thank you to Matthew's Nickname for his incredibly detailed and kind review in the UK iTunes store. We appreciate the thoroughness and attention to detail you put into that. That was a very nice review, so thank you. And then also to Colin, host of Trek News and Views on Trek FM. He also let us know that he put in a review. I don't know if it's up yet. It was very recent as of the time of this recording, but thanks, buddy, for putting in a review for us. And also, thank you to Barry Ingram for his fun message he sent to us in reply to our show on Voyager's resources. And I think all I'm going to say in for now on the show is spam indeed. I'll leave it at that. So, next week, we are going to talk about guilty pleasure episodes. And this is not going to be the same type of show as our underrated episodes. These are episodes that we love that are typically not held in high regard by the majority of fans.
And with our guilty pleasures, we're just going to have to fess up to why we like the bad stuff.
Well, yeah, we know that they're bad, but we love them anyway. That's going to be the difference. So, all right, guys, I think that is all for this week. This has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!
To the Journey!